Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
7:14 a half, rain is getting heavier, and you need to be careful when you're out there. It's going to rain until about 1 o'clock today, and then cool off for the weekend. More rain, however, on Sunday, and I like to think of it as a rainy Friday is better than a sunny Monday. Joe Geruso joins us now, New Orleans City Council member. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. One thing I appreciate about you, and I've said this often, is that you're not a table pounder, but you are a fact finder, and you are a very gifted attorney, and you will get to the bottom of what's going on, as will the city council. Tell me about the investigation that the city council is going to launch and Bourbon Street and the terror attack and all of that, Joe.
Well, look, there's kind of two things going on, I think, in parallel right now. First, New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation have hired the former chief of New York, Bratton, who came down here and gave a press conference yesterday. I assume what he's going to do is look at two major things. One, how are personnel deployed and where to put them. And he will say, you need more people, more places. No surprise there. And we'll also assess what equipment and other needs the city has and also say, you need to have more there. So, look, I have no problem with somebody from the outside taking a look in, hopefully in concert with NOPD, and looking at that. And then the second part of it is yesterday we started the investigation into what happened with the bollards. Obviously, the thing that we're the most interested in at this point is documentation for two reasons. First, we don't know. We don't know who had what and when they had it and what was exchanged and who was responsible for anything. And secondly, as I've learned from my time as an attorney, paper doesn't lie. It doesn't fade with time. There's no memory that is lost. It's there. And so I think the idea is obviously to get all of that, put it sort of within a chronological order so you understand how things were evolving, what was going on. And my guess is, without knowing anything, that there's going to be probably multiple points where things can be improved, and how do we get to the bottom of those and make sure that we understand what's going on.
We are going to talk to the CEO, Peter Whitford, of Meridian Rapid Defense Group, who, as I understand it, is in town to, is he going to be talking to the council? He's going to be talking to NOPD, Public Works, to talk about the Archer barriers that the city purchased?
Yeah, he's probably going to be talking to NOPD first. And look, that's one of the things I do want to be careful about is when you do have these security concerns, obviously you need to keep that group fairly tight. You can't have 100 people knowing or else there isn't really a good secure plan. But I think they'll be talking primarily to NOPD, probably also to New Orleans Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness as well, and making sure everybody's on the same page about how those assets should be deployed, where they should be deployed, and then obviously how you make it as safe as possible.
So when it comes to these Archer barriers, local TV station reporting that, Fox 8 it was, I'll say it, Fox 8 saying that the Meridian Rapid Defense Group, and we'll talk to that CEO later on this morning, that the city of New Orleans bought 45 of them in 2017 for almost $250,000. In a conversation with Colin Arnold that we had on, let me get my days straight here, on Wednesday, he was talking about, and I believe he was quoted as saying, that they weighed between 400 and 500 pounds, took 3 to 4 people or some type of hydraulic equipment to place in place. But then when you look at the video from the company and talking to Ramon Antonio Vargas yesterday in a story he did for, I think it was The Guardian or The Illuminator, I get them confused, we found out that they have these handles that, or lift devices, however you call them, that indicates one person could easily move this thing with leverage and so forth. And I guess the question I'm wondering is, who would be in charge of seeing where the 45 of these things are, of maintaining them, of knowing that they had these handles, of being able to deploy them, and at what point did the communication fail? And I guess it's all the stuff, Joe, you may not have answers now, but when Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick said she didn't know about the arch barriers, well, that's one thing, but not knowing about that they could be deployed by one person and having to use equipment, that's something else. Thoughts on all of that? That's a lot. Jump in where you feel comfortable.
Yeah, no, it is a lot, but it's the point I raised Wednesday when we were at the end of our hearing on the meeting with Chief Ann and with Rick Hathaway, who's head of DPW, and then when we formally launched the investigation yesterday, is I don't know who is responsible for what. And there seems to be a doubt about, is that question about bollards, archers, equipment, big, heavy trucks and units being deployed, is that within NOPD's bailiwick? Is that within Homeland Security's bailiwick? Is some of DPW there? And then, Tommy, sort of to further your point, okay, let's say somebody says these things are too heavy to deploy. Well, it just hypothetically says one of those three departments says that. Well, what happens if another department says, no, that's not true. It has a handle. We've been here for forever. How does that get resolved? I don't know the answer to those. That's what I keep on pressing on, is we sort of need two things. One, a very clear governance structure for how these agencies are operating, because they do touch different things and have different levels of jurisdiction. And then number two, within the French Quarter itself, you really have so many different stakeholders who are there too. And there is a group of people who are going to want more pedestrianization. There's businesses who sometimes don't want that quite as much because they want freer flow of traffic and to get things delivered. So it's going to create, I think, this investigation. What we're trying to do is hone in on your questions. And then also, what do we need to do to make sure things move more quickly? And then the last thing, Tommy, I'd say about this too, and this is a point I will continue to harp on for as long as possible, and I think Fox 8 has made this point, and I know the paper as well, is we're on our fifth different director of public works and our fourth different police chief. And it's really hard to have that institutional knowledge. The point you just raised is, had we had somebody here for 7, 8, 10 consecutive years, that person probably knows the archer conceptually can be moved by one person as opposed to three people. When you have somebody who's new, whether it's Rick Hathaway or Ann Kirkpatrick, it's really hard for them to acquire all the information that they need if they've only been on the job for about a year.
I think that happens to all of us on a smaller scale. Joe, I got the maids come in and clean my home every month, and so they don't realize what a pigsty I live in. I throw everything in a container and hide it, right? And then sometimes I realize that wait a minute, why did I buy another one of these? I had it, and I just forgot that it was somewhere, and I think on a larger scale that might have been what happened here. But we'll continue to talk about it when we come back. 722, Tommy Tucker, rainy Friday morning, traffic now, WWL. 727, Tommy Tucker, WWL. A couple of minutes left with Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, talking about the security hearings, Bourbon Street, and so forth. Joe, how different is Mardi Gras likely to look? Do you have any idea?
I don't have an idea yet. Look, I think we've been through this before, both in shortening the routes a few years ago and with also more compact crowds along that route. That's my greatest concern, is just making sure we don't tighten it too much where you have overflow. I think they're going to see, or at least we're going to have a push to get as much barricades as possible too, to make sure we can kind of keep people back and away from floats. And somebody else asked me, well, what do you do about coolers and grills? And mm-hmm. I think we're going to both do a sweep and have a good education campaign to people. If it's your cooler, keep it close to you, making sure it's with your family or your friends that you're having fun with. And if you see something that wasn't there or just materialized, or you watch somebody drop it off, make sure you know people know. Obviously, we're going to have more federal resources, too, as a result of getting that bump up in the federal system to CR1 rating. So you'll have more feds involved. And I kind of think with the federal government being here, Tommy, you'll really see more things. And that's a bad way of putting it. You'll probably have more resources, but not see them. You'll probably have more people in the back who are helping NOPD watch things and have things in the background and providing tools to them, but and probably blending into the crowd too. But I doubt you're going to see federal marshals on the parade route with great significance.
Yeah, because I was talking to Arthur Hardy yesterday, and he brought up that exact thing. It's like, well, you got a guy walking around in a mask dragging an ice chest. That kind of is what Mardi Gras is, right? I mean, in a way.
It's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. And I think to the city's credit, they brought that up. People may not remember, but in our first term, we actually passed legislation moving, and I was not necessarily a big fan of this, of moving portalettes further away from the route. Mm-hmm. And my reasoning was, if somebody wants to do something, they're going to do it. And what are you going to do about a cooler or a porta potty or something else? But maybe with hindsight, the further that you can push some of those things back and have as much vigilance as possible. But I think Arthur's right. What are you going to do with somebody who decides, I don't care, I'm going to be a suicide bomber with a cooler and bring it on a route? There just isn't much that we can do. But at the same time, that's true in any place, no matter where you are with crowds. And I think all of it is just trying to remain as vigilant as we possibly can. And look, Tommy, the other thing I will say, too, is this is the whole point about why the terrorist attacks affect us so much psychologically, is because now it's a fear of, should I go and do my normal routine? Should I have the things that are happening? And I think part of the thing we all have to remain cognizant of, this is what it's like now living in a free democracy and in the Western world, and how we make sure that we're both safe, but at the same time, don't stop doing what our normal routines are, because if that's what happens, we're sunk.
Anytime, anywhere in this country, somebody can show up with a couple of guns and some big magazines and kill, unfortunately, more people than died on Bourbon Street at any moment. So you're right. It's just part of living in an open society. Thank you, Joe. We'll talk to you again soon. When we take a break, when we come back, we'll talk to Mark Rosa, President and CEO, Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, help you manage your money with Mark Rosa. Right now, time for WWL First News.